For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Now, let me stop there for a second. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Now, what is the power of God? The gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Now, if you were raised and went to Sunday school and church, then that word salvation only means one thing to you, and that is that you go to heaven. And that's really just the end result way down the road. But Jesus said that I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And he isn't talking about when you go to heaven. He said, because the thief comes not for to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, the thief can't get into heaven to steal from you. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And he's talking about why you live here on the earth. Now, here it says that the gospel of Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation. That word salvation is the Greek word sozo, S-O-Z-O, which means total deliverance. As a matter of fact, that particular word is also used when it talks about being healed. It talks about total restoration. So anything that is not right in your life that you need to be saved from, Jesus came that he might destroy the works of the devil. So anything that the devil would try to do in your life, you need to be saved from that. So salvation in your finances, salvation in your body, salvation in your family, salvation at work, salvation in your mind, total deliverance. Deliverance from sin, addictions, whatever those habits are. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Now, we're going to get into this starting next week, but let me just give you let me just summarize it very quickly. John chapter 1 says that the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And it said that the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. There's a couple of other scriptures that tell us what the gospel is. Now, we know that the word gospel means what? Good news. The gospel means good news. And so when we think about the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we think that that just simply means going and telling people that Jesus came and died for your sins, and that's the good news. Yes, amen. But that is just barely scratching the surface of what the gospel really is. The word gospel doesn't just mean good news. It means nearly too good to be true news. It means it is so good that if you don't watch it, you won't accept it. You won't believe it. You won't enter into it. Because there's no way in the world that could be for me. And he's not talking about going to heaven as much as he is talking about the grace of God that has been bestowed upon you so that you have been made righteous and you've been made free from sin, disease, death, poverty, all of those things. That's the part. He has lifted you out of the kingdom of darkness and he's translated you into the kingdom of his dear son. And we can walk at a different level. We can walk at a different place. We can go in victory from victory from victory and be changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. But I'm not going to focus in on the gospel right at the moment. We're going to get into this, and I'm going to give you good scripture next week. But this is where the Lord wants me to go for a brief moment this morning. It's this next phrase. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Verse 17. One of my favorite scriptures. Well, we'll go back to verse 15. For not as the offense, Adam's sin, so also is the free gift, that which came through Jesus. For if through the offense of one, who is Adam, many are made dead, much more, somebody say much more. Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by the one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. We have a tendency when it comes to the difficulties in our life, the sin in our life, the addictions in our life, of magnifying the problem and hoping that the grace of God and the power of God is enough to meet the need. We do that in our own finances. We believe God for just enough to pay the bill. We believe God for just enough to take care of whatever it is that we need. In other words, we are only willing to measure to ourselves the abundance that God has up to the point of our need. And so we make the grace of God equal to the task of the sin, the destruction, the addiction, whatever's going on in our life, we level it with that. And the Bible says that grace much more abounds. You've got to get out of the mindset of seeing how hard it is to stop some sin, to stop doing what you are doing this wrong, to how hard it is to read the Bible, to pray, all of those things that Christians have a tendency to struggle with. And they magnify their problems, they magnify their weakness, they magnify all of these things and hope that sometime the Word of God is going to be enough to take care of it, when in reality, you should be looking at the Word of God as more than enough. Yes. Hallelujah. Instead of magnifying the weakness. Look at verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned or ruled, death ruled over us. Because of what Adam did. Much more. Somebody say much more. Much more. They which what? Receive. They which receive. Much more they which receive abundance of grace. It is up to you how much you will receive in your life. In Mark chapter 5, Jairus came to Jesus. Jesus had just passed over to the other side on a boat, and he's walking along, and as he's walking, Jairus comes to him and stops him. And so he stops, and Jairus said, if you'll just come and lay your hands on my daughter, she will be healed. And so what did Jesus do? He turned and he started going with her, or with him. Well, along the way, another lady, woman with the issue of blood, came in the crowd, touched the hem of his garment, because she had said, if I may but just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. So she stopped and he went to her. What does that tell us? Number one, did Jesus have on his daily planner, okay, when I pass over to the other side, Jairus, I got to go minister to Jairus. And then along the way, some lady's going to touch me. No, because the Bible says that when that happened, he felt power go around and he stopped and he looked around on who it was that had done that. And he's like, who touched me? So he didn't know what was going on. So let me say it this way. He goes to the other side. As he steps out of the boat, let's put it this way. Jesus didn't go to the other side. Supply went to the other side. Grace went to the other side. Favor went to the other side. And so as supply stepped out onto the beach and starts walking this way, demand by the name of Jairus stepped in to supply. That's my dad. I'd love to say I came up with this on my own, but I heard that Friday at Creflo's. But it'll still preach just the same. I just can't do it quite the way Creflo can do it. But demand said, if you will come, and look, this is where Jairus was. My daughter's about to die, and as long as Jesus can get there before she dies, she'll be healed. And so as the supply goes to where the demand is, oh, glory to God. He's walking down the road, and then a woman places another demand on the supply. And so he stops there and allows the supply that is in him to go. And he said, woman, be it unto you according to your faith. Your faith has made you whole. So she got what she believed to the measure that she believed it. Now, along the way, somebody comes up to Jairus and says, it's too late. Don't bother the master any longer because your daughter is dead. Now, if you're the father, and if you were believing that as long as you could get Jesus there just in time, you're good to go. But all of a sudden, it's like, we're done. But the Bible says, as soon as Jesus heard these words, he turned around to him and said, be not afraid, only believe. What are you willing to believe, Jairus? And so the supply kept going, and you know the story. Because of his faith, the little girl was raised from the dead. What are you willing to believe in your life concerning who you are? The Bible says that we're righteous. But sometimes we don't act righteous. And so we have this mindset that we're just sinners that are saved by grace. How do I say this? How good do you have to be righteous? I mean, think about it. What kind of life do you have to live till you will feel like you've finally gotten there? For some of us, it's make sure we never lie, make sure we never smoke, make sure we never cheat, make sure that we read the Bible every day, make sure we pray every day, make sure that we're doing all of these things. So we set up these tests, these limits, or maybe the standard that if I can get there, then I'm going to be okay. Glory to God. So what do you have to do? We're going somewhere now. Let me flip that. Jesus, when he was on the cross, what did he have to do to be sin? He didn't do nothing. He was sinless. He was perfect. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us that God made him sin. He was made sin for us. There was a great exchange. A sinless man in the sight of God became sin. He didn't have to start sinning to get there. It was laid on him. And he was branded sin for that moment in time. But because of what he did, because of what Jesus did on the cross, it says that we have been made righteous. Not that we live righteously, we've been made righteous. The problem that we have as a church is we're still thinking about sin and still thinking about our inabilities and still thinking about our weaknesses and still thinking about our shortcomings more than we do about the thing that God has already made us. Go back to Romans chapter 1. I want you to get this, because if you will get a hold of this, it will transform your thinking. It will transform the way that you view yourself. It will get you out of a place where you're struggling to do right and you're struggling with sin and you're struggling with all of these things, and you'll finally be over into a place that now you're doing what you're created for, good works. Can I just follow that up by saying this? What is good works? Created for good works. A lot of times in church, we think good works is just going out and feeding the homeless and doing good for people and all of that. But what does the Bible define as good works? Jesus said, "The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these, because I go to my Father." But he prefaced it by saying, "Whosoever believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also." So I'm created to do those good works. Let me go back to this Romans chapter 1 for just a moment. Verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that will believe. To the Jews first, also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." Turn with me over to Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18, I think it's Luke chapter 18. Yeah. Verse 9. "And so he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." Before I go on, how are your toes today? It's all good? You got your hard toed shoes, steel toes, whatever they say. Okay, because we're about to get down to the nitty gritty. Church is not about coming and just, you know, feeling good and happy message and boy, wasn't Pastor anointed today and the musicians were anointed and I feel so good. If we're not producing change in your life, then we might as well lock the doors. So here we go. "And he spake the parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." Now, as I read this, people are going to come to your mind. You're like, I know these people. Okay. I'm just saying. Turn to your neighbor and say, this may be talking about you. Okay. "Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican." Publican just means, I mean, this was a real sinner, you know. I mean, this guy, not a churchgoer. You may know some of those people. "The Pharisee stood and prayed this way with himself." God, or maybe I should change my voice. "God, I thank you that I am not as other men. I'm not an extortioner, unjust, adulterer, or even as this nasty guy over here. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of everything that I possess." So he was pretty proud of how he lived his life. "The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Jesus said, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted." Now, you have to recognize that there's nothing that you do that causes God to bless you. We are always looking for why we are not blessed. Why am I not getting my prayers answered? Why am I not seeing prosperity the way that I should? Why am I not seeing the power of God? And we always look at something in our life. Oh, you know what? I spoke ugly to my wife today. I didn't pray today. I didn't spend time in the Word today. You know, we're always putting up these reasons why we haven't done what we're supposed to do. And the focus is on my performance. And that is called self-righteousness. And self-righteousness looks like this. When you start evaluating yourself in the eyes of God based on how you live your life. Self-righteousness also does this. It compares itself to other people. See, I can get up and I can say, you know, I live a pretty good life. Thank God, Father, that I'm blessed. Father, you know, and while I may not be to the level of some people, I know I'm a whole lot better than those people over there. I'm spirit filled. I'm Holy Ghost filled. And so I got more revelation than the Baptist. Hello. All right. And so it's very easy to compare my level of revelation to other members of the body of Christ. And what I have just done is I have stopped believing that I have been made righteous, and I have just stepped into a place of self-righteousness, and by that I have fallen from grace. All of the promises of God, healing, prosperity, peace, family issues, all of those things now exist not inside of the law, not inside of how much I do in the Word of God. They exist inside of the free gift of grace that God has already bestowed upon me. Now, let me use my daughter Olivia as an example. What are you willing to believe? When she was very young, we took her down to a local fair that came into town, and it's one of those, you know, carnivals that, you know, you have to give them a ticket for everything that you ride. And so you know, and my gosh, they're expensive too. I mean, the last time I went to the state fair, we didn't do a whole lot, and I spent $100 because they wanted 2 and 3 tickets to keep riding things. So Olivia, as a little girl, you know, came to us and she said, I want to go ride the swings one more time, Daddy. And so, okay, well, here's your 2 tickets. Go. And then she'd want to go ride something else. Well, here's some more tickets. And as we ran out of tickets, we had to go buy more tickets because the kids wanted to keep riding, right? And so this set up in her mind, in her young mind, that I've got to hand this to the operator of the ride before I'm allowed to participate in something that I'm going to enjoy. So I've got to do something first before I can get on there. Yeah. And so in her young mind, that's the way it worked. Until my dad took her to Six Flags. And they went to the little kiddie park. But see, Olivia only acted like she knew to act. And so she would go up to the ride, or she'd come to Pops and say, Pops, I need a ticket for the ride. And he goes, no, we've already bought the ticket. And so she would go ride. And then when she'd ready for the next ride, Pops, now I need a ticket for the ride. In other words, she still had this performance mentality that she had to do something to get something that had already been paid for. Dad paid one ticket to get into Six Flags. And then once you get inside, then everything is freely available that you want to ride on. But what if Dad had never talked to Olivia about how it worked? What if we just said, Olivia, go ride whatever you want to. And when she got in there, she realized no tickets. And she sat there and would not ride because she did not have what she thought she needed to get on the ride. That is where the body of Christ is today. We have been taught that we have to do so much. We have to do this for God to bless us. We have to do this to get out of sin. We have to get out of sin for God to bless us. I can't figure out how to do it. It doesn't all work together. I don't know what to do. Where's my ticket? And we will not accept the fact that it's already been all taken care of. It's almost because of our experience. Listen to this. Because of our experience, it's hard for us to believe that it's just as easy as believing. Yes. Do you know that Jesus gave us only two commandments? Believe on him and then love your neighbor. That's it. But no. We got to put a lot of rules and regulations. Why didn't you get healed today? Well, let's go through the checklist. How many times in the Word did you spend this week? Okay. All right. Oh, so you spent an hour this week? Maybe. Let's see. Well, how often did you pray? Maybe that's the problem. Oh, you prayed, but once or twice this week. That could be an issue. All right. Let's go on down the checklist here. How many times? Here we go. How many times did you confess your healing this week? Oh, y'all are so quiet. I told you you may know somebody like this. What I really meant to say is this could be you. Oh, you only confessed it 10 times? That's probably not enough. Let's go on down here. Let's just see if there's any other issues that's keeping you from getting healed. Did you get mad at anybody this week? Did you get ugly with anybody? Oh, you cussed somebody out? Oh, well then. Oh, well then there's the problem right there. And so what we're doing is we have set up this system that you know, we can point to any one of these things and this is the reason. You know, okay, so I didn't do this, I didn't do that, okay? Do you know what we have seen? I've seen this in this church many times. I'm sorry to have to tell you all this because it's going to hurt too. But I've seen people come in. Now, look, we got people here that's been here for 20 years, okay? 30 years maybe. We've been here. How long you been here, Faye? Forever. As long as we've had a church, I think Faye's been here. So we've seen people come in. We've seen people come in that haven't been here. They haven't been taught the word like we have. Oh, no. They haven't grown up the way that we have. Because I'm here Sunday morning. I'm here Wednesday night. The word's the most important thing in my life. And so, I'm doing everything that I got to do to get the word in. And now somebody new comes in and they get a hold of healing and they get healed. And they haven't been here 15 years. And I'm still believing God for my healing. I'm still believing God for prosperity. And they come in and guess what? They get a new job the next week. Or God, you know, in 6 months they start a business and they get successful. And I look at that and like, but God, what have I been doing? And he says, that's your problem. You're looking at what you've been doing. He said, the person that came in, you know what they did? They heard the message and they believed it. That is the only requirement to enter into the grace of God. The only requirement. Turn with me to Luke chapter 7. See if I can bring this to a close. In Luke chapter 7, verse 36, one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. One of these self-righteous people. He went into the Pharisee's house, sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. So we're having a clear difference here. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. And when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spoke within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner." Self-righteous, judging others, comparing yourself to the lives of others. Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have something to say unto you." Oh, the prophet's going to speak to me now. He said, "Say on." He said, "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50, and which had both of them had nothing to pay. And he frankly forgave them both." Let me put this into bigger numbers. Somebody owed him $100,000 and another person owed him $100. So there's a big difference there. But what is the same about them? Neither one of them had anything to pay. It doesn't matter if you're the biggest sinner in the world. It doesn't matter if you lived your life really good all of your life. You know, and I'm one of those that can say, I didn't go off the reservation. I didn't start, you know, drinking and partying and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I was always raised in church and I've always lived a pretty good life. But all of that still isn't enough to get me to the place that I receive from God. God doesn't look at that. He doesn't say, "Wow, Mark was pretty good. Here you go." That's not the way the kingdom operates, people. It's faith. It's faith. And this is the important thing. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most?" Next verse. Simon answered, "I suppose to him he forgave the most." And he said, "You have rightly judged." Let's keep going. "And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, 'Do you see this woman? I entered into your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head.'" Keep going. "Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil you did not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And then verse 50, he said again, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Now, this is an introduction into where we're going next week, but I want you to listen to me for a moment. Thank you, Lord. You will only walk in the level of victory, the level of grace, to the measure in which you will believe it, to the measure in which you will receive it. Remember, it said, "They that receive abundance of grace." Now, you have to change your mindset. This is not something that happens overnight. Because of our indoctrination and because of the way that we've thought, I want to make sure that you get a hold of this. Let's back it down just a little bit. I want you to get a hold of this. And I want to make sure I say it the exact way that the Lord has given me to say it. So just give me just a moment. Thank you, Father. You have been made righteous. When you became born again, the Bible says you were born again by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Now, when you were born into this world, there was a seed that was planted on the inside of you, and that was the seed of death and the seed of sin. And what it did is it had fruit that would extend, you know, and create death in your life. And so that's the reason why you always struggled with it, because you had the seed that just kept producing more fruit, this plant that kept producing more fruit in your life. But now that seed of sin has been taken out of your life. That plant has been uprooted out of your life. There's been a new seed that's been deposited into your spirit man. It's the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. It's the nature of righteousness. Your character now is one that is righteous, one that does good. But you have to believe it, you have to receive it, and you have to say and be willing to say. And you know, a lot of church folk won't do this, but you have to be willing to say, I'm righteous. Not by my righteousness, but because of Jesus' righteousness. I'm not righteous because I do righteous things. I'm righteous because that's the way I've been born. Glory to God. I just found this out on Friday and talking with a pastor friend of mine. How many of you know who T.L. Osborne is? Can I see a show of hands? T.L. Osborne, great man of God. Early in his ministry, he went to India and places like that and to hold crusades and to see people healed. And he and his wife would go, and on their first trip there, it was an absolute disaster, absolute failure. He came back and he said, I'm done. I mean, if I can't get people healed the way that I know it's supposed to be done, what's wrong? And I don't know that I've ever heard him share this, except for what this minister told me. A friend of his happened to be in Tulsa and actually went over and visited with T.L. a few weeks before he died and was talking to him. And he said, what changed? What was it that changed? Because what happened is there was a time that when T.L. Osborne went back across the sea, all of a sudden miracles started happening. Hundreds of thousands of people came to his crusades. Blind eyes were being opened. Had one of the most marvelous healing ministries during the 50s and the 60s overseas. He was always an exciting guy. He would just, you know, get up and he would just say, God is good. And wow, God is great. Say that backwards. Wow. He was just that kind of guy. But as he was talking to this minister, he said, you know what I did? He said, I really started getting into and reading books and notes by E.W. Kenyon on the righteousness of God. He stopped trying to get God to do things for him and through him and started realizing who he was in Christ. And getting a revelation of who you are, that because of God's grace, you've been made righteous. And you don't have to do stuff to try to get God to perform on your behalf. Because God's already given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Glory to God. But Pastor, I've made a mistake this week. I messed up. Well, aren't you glad that God looks at you through his grace and not through your mess ups? But Pastor, I don't deserve to be healed. I don't deserve to see victory in this area because of the way that I've been. Well, then you're in a really good place if that's the way that you feel, because you're more like that publican that said, be merciful to me, a sinner. It's not my righteousness, it's his righteousness. But let me flip that around a little bit. Sometimes we'll look at people and say, man, they don't deserve to be blessed. You can go up to them and say, hey, you don't deserve that. And they say, I know, isn't that great? We got to get out of a performance mentality. And I'm going to tell you that self-righteousness always puts itself somewhere in line ahead of some people, but behind others. It compares. Listen, I made the righteousness of God in Christ, period. However Jesus was righteous when he was here on the earth, that's me right now. That's who I am. And so now, because the seed that's on the inside of me is righteousness, now I have, the Bible says, fruits that are under righteousness. Amen. Stand up with me, please. Stop struggling with sin. The Bible says, count yourself as dead to sin, but alive under righteousness. Why? Because that's who you are. That's who you are. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just receive that word. You have to dare to believe. Now, this is not normal. This is not, I mean, this is almost too good to be true. I mean, you may think it can't be that easy. Well, see, that's the gospel. It's almost too good to be true. It is that easy. Right now, allow the Spirit of God to reveal unto you areas in your life that you have compared yourself to others, you have judged others, and by doing so, you have fallen from grace and into your own righteousness, into your self-righteousness. Allow God to reveal unto you areas where you haven't felt like that you measure up, and where you've allowed condemnation to come in, you've allowed discouragement to come in, you've allowed conviction. I mean, just, you know, the devil to come in and just condemn you all the time, and depression comes in as a result of all of that because you never can measure up. That's the way that you feel about yourself. You've got to change the way that you look at yourself. Because God sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ. And he sees you as made washed clean and all of that. And what happens is when you're really willing. But yeah, Pastor, but I've been dealing with this addiction for so many years that I just don't know that I can stop. Then you're still focusing on the addiction. And so your experience tells you that it's hard to stop. And so you have now reinforced that in your own belief system. You believe that it's difficult to stop, and you're having exactly what you believe.
That's right.
Be it unto you according to your faith. With the measure that you measure, it shall be measured to you again. How much grace are you willing to receive? How much righteousness are you willing to receive? I am willing to receive everything that God has for me. I am willing to receive an abundance of grace in my life. I'm willing to receive that I am made the righteousness of God in Christ. I will no longer look at areas where I failed, and I will only look at the areas where Jesus succeeded. Because that's who I am in Jesus' name. We got to change this mindset. Let's receive everything that the Father has for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your love. We thank you for your presence. Thank you for the testimonies and what you've done in this place. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you all the honor. We give you all the glory. Thank you for glorifying your Son Jesus in this place this morning. And Lord, reveal to us mindsets that need to change so that we can receive even more from your abundant grace in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.